stars. The Klingons are very into honor, and therefore, when they talk about the naked stars witnessing their deeds or bearing witness to things, they will, I want this known. But if the naked stars look upon your deeds and yawn, your deeds are kind of not really that interesting or important, so the naked stars really don't care about anything you do. Mm-hmm. And implying that you're going to die anonymous and nobody's ever going to remember you is also something that Klingons really kind of don't want to happen to them. They want to leave a legacy. And Klingons in general are they're loud, they're boisterous, they want people to notice them. And so if the naked stars look upon your deeds and yawn, it's not a good thing to say to somebody. Vren and Marja are about to fight each other in the play, so they trade insults, and then they pull out the bat lefts and start going at each other. And it's as much foreplay as it is weapons practice, because these two are very, very good, and they're also very, very much in love.
Are there a version of Klingon jokes that would be like your mama jokes?
Not really. There's the one that's actually in canon is your mother has a smooth forehead. That's the only your mama I've ever actually encountered in canon. Mark Holgren offers several examples. You belong in a black hole in the Netherworlds is one of them. And there's a plethora of others that he also says in Klingon on, I think it's Power Klingon. The other tape was a conversational Klingon. They were both really useful for road trips and on long road trips back in the days of cassette tapes. I believe you can get them on DVD now. Anybody have questions, comments, and insults?
How did they... So is this something that they came up with themselves, the insults, or Dorne?
Mark Okrin is the originator of the Klingon language. Mm-hmm. So basically what he says goes.
Okay.
He was contracted by Paramount for, I think, if memory is serving me correctly, the third of the various Star Trek movies. Prior to that, there was something that was called Klingon, and it was subtitled as Klingon, and it was Jimmy Doohan, who was throwing sounds out because he was told to come up with something, and Mark Holgren took what he said and tried to make sense of it, and then added his linguistic skills to the language. He made it hard to pronounce and difficult to parse. Used a very uncommon word order. And used languages that are not represented on the UN Security Council as inspirations, things like Aztec and various Inuit languages from Northern Canada and other places like that. When you throw a ton of suffixes onto a word, it changes the meaning, and you can actually have a one-word sentence that way. First Nations up in Northern Canada, the Inuits and the Aleuts have languages that do similar things. And in fact, you can take something simple and do an insult and throw a suffix onto it. There is a suffix that is hok, Q-O-Q, and it means so-called. It's basically finger quoting what you're attaching it to. So if I were to say, you are a great warrior, and add that suffix to it, you are a so-called great warrior. It's basically me, if you translate that into English as, hey, you are a great warrior.
You are a great warrior. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. That is another way you can say that. And I find that suffix extremely useful. So, Klingon, the language itself, is a lot of fun to play with when you're doing insults. And so I would honor your house for the ages. Somebody has to be the one you aspire not to be like. since we were talking about wanting to be remembered, we really don't want to be remembered as the example of how not to be.
I understand that you and Picard are having a contest of who can surrender the most. Currently, you're winning.
Oh, I can't let that one go by. Oh, no, I cannot. And I would have to say that I was trying to find your courage, and I was looking for it at the bottom of a bottle of Terran rum, which is, if I were, I wouldn't give that to you. Well, in fact, I would give that to you. I would, because my infant has rejected it, saying that it was way too weak.
I'm sorry.
And I do have to welcome you to the Conversational Klingon Insults panel. And I'm sure that, and somebody was just saying about you that you were not fit to muck out the insides of the Targ stables with your tongue. And I defended you. I said that you were. Thanks, Laura. Because you came in late, we're talking about insults, the culture behind them as regards to Klingons, some of how the language originated, some little bits and pieces of it. And what you do when you're insulted, because Patrick just insulted me like 2 seconds before you walked in, and so it was on me to insult. Now it's your turn to throw out something about, well, me or anyone else in the room, and insult them.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yes. You can have a few minutes to think about this. Klingons like to besmirch somebody's worthiness, their honor, their family line, their resemblance to things like tribbles. I could tell somebody that. Well, I did. I was actually saying to somebody earlier that I heard that their best friend was a tribble, and then I asked when the wedding was.
Would this one fly?
Oh, let's take a look.
Okay, Worf has such a bat look up his ass that he needs WD-40 in order to pass a fart.
Well, that would work, but you would want to say that to a person currently present.
Yes.
And in fact, that is a rather apt description of Worf. I really like Worf. I like his character a lot, but he does seem to be the type of character that, because he was raised human and he is Klingon, and he's wanting to become part of Klingon culture, he is the one that's diving into it and taking it extremely seriously, and he's kind of feeling like an outsider, and so he has to go twice as much to prove that he's half as good.
Klingons do not laugh. Klingons do not smile.
And then you meet other Klingons who are not quite like that.
They laugh and you smile.
And who have a very interesting sense of humor. Kalar is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. And they've been raised in the culture, and they are much more freer to vary from the ideal. Worf sees the ideal, and he needs to exemplify that ideal. So insulting Worf is probably going to get him to, he's probably studied up on the classic insults. And sometimes there are classically used insults that will be used more than once. Because if somebody has a good burn, it gets repeated over time.
Did you hear about the honors that were heaped upon your battle unit?
Ooh.
No. Neither did I.
Oh! Here's an original from the Klingon Christmas Carol. Your glorious deeds are so far in the past that no one I have talked to can remember them. Fred says that the Scourja and Seymour.
Your muscles are so thin they couldn't be used in beef jerky.
I do remember that I talked to your mother the other day, and she told me that in order to get the tar to play with you, she had to wrap live gawk around your neck so that the tar could play with you because you're that ugly.
Oh, that's so sad. I cry for you.
You're so pathetic. Where disruptor shoots bubbles.
All right. That's fighting worse. Your battle sash clashes with your uniform. Now that one is an original from Mary as her Klingon character, Kidinsi, who is the fashion consultant of the Empire.
Yes.
And another one that Mary has used in the past is, may you die in bed alone. And then of course, when you're having fun with it, feel free to cross genres. A serious KLI type Klingon insult contest would probably would probably disqualify you for this one. So I hear you've been enjoying the company of Han Solo.
No.
Oh wait, did I say Han Solo? I meant
yes.
Han Solo. The KLI will probably not give you any accolades for that one, but it is fun to use that one, something similar to that at a con. Anybody got any good ones to throw out?
Did not win a battle of wits against Paclin.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that would be the same as failing to win a battle of wits against an unarmed opponent. And it would be dishonorable to eviscerate an unarmed opponent in a battle of honor, which is what I saw you doing. And sometimes your insults are going to be hit or miss because as you're coming up with these on the fly, sometimes you get a really good one and sometimes not so much. But I do have to admire all of the wonderful, shiny awards that I see on your battle sash. I recognize them. They came out of a Cracker Jack box.
The Targan and Tauntaun, we're going to have a contest to see who stinks. You watch the room. I said, okay, we get up. She's a professional.
You know, if I lacked a sense of smell, I would still be unable to breathe in your presence. You stink that bad.
You know the phrase that humans have about liquid courage? Yours is not on the bottom of blood wine. It's in the bottom of apple juice.
I would also have to say that your blood is so thin, it is indistinguishable from water. And then again, since we're not going to leave anybody out, we have somebody here from the animated series of Star Trek. And I just want to say that I heard that your ship got sucked into a black hole, but it rejected you and spit you right back out.
Yes, but the ultimate rejection, being rejected by a black hole. Black holes suck, but... I noticed you dropped your bat left. Are you ever
going to
return to the battlefield and pick it up?
Come back with your bat left. Or on it.
Your blood is so thin that if you were in a swamp, the mosquitoes would starve to death.
Oh! Right.
In the film about your life, the banner across everything says critical fail.
Oh. No content found.
404, yes. The same page error. that we can all enjoy hearing tales of your engineering expertise. The last time you programmed the computer on board your ship, you caused the universe to issue forth Stack Overflow errors. And that's where that black hole came from. I heard you're such a lightweight that hearing the words bloodline makes you drunk. Oh. Well, you could definitely get drunk off of water.
Went under the holodeck after you. I was surprised to find a full setup for ballet.
Your poetry was ripped off of Terran fortune cookies. Poetry, for example, in Klingon culture is a very widely respected thing because Klingons claim as their favorite bard Shakespeare. It's always best in the original Klingon, such as Jik'tach Pag Jik'tach Beh, which is to be or not to be, in the original Klingon. And so when the Terrans ripped off Shakespeare, they ripped off several other famous Klingon authors like Dickens and several others. So therefore, anything involving Shakespeare poetry is something to aspire to and is very respected and honorable. And I'm not sure the origin of the idea that the in a typical heterosexual pairing, the man will recite poetry and the woman will throw heavy objects at him.
That was from Next Gen.
Next Gen. That was definitely Next Gen.
Yeah. Ah, okay, yeah.
Worf was talking about Klingon mating.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. That is.
And he was looking up, and he looked very starry-eyed, and like he was dreaming about how wonderful that would be to have someone throwing heavy objects at him.
Of course, he was talking to
Wesley
about it.
Yeah. And he said something about we read poetry and. And what do the women do? They throw heavy objects, and we duck. We are.
Yeah,
that's what
duck
it is.
A lot.
The women throw heavy objects and claw at you. And what do the men do? We read poetry, and we duck a lot.
And so here's something that's kind of based around that idea. Is when you are throwing heavy objects at your mate. You hit him, and you knock him out, and that's no fun for anyone.
Or, your poetry is so bad, I'm not going to waste a rock.
Your disruptor fires blanks. Or if you're talking about boarding parties, boarding another ship, your disruptor is always set to stun. It doesn't even have a kill setting, you coward.
You charge into battle with wet pants.
And last
you return
time
from
we beat
battle
down.
With full pants.
Oh, go ahead.
You return from battle with full pants.
So we were standing there in the transporter room about to beam onto the other ship to take it over. And, oh God, what is this? No. Ew, that's you that just shit your pants. We haven't even gotten to the other ship yet. You're so ugly, you can't even get a date on a holodeck. Hello, welcome to Conversational Klingon Insults. We are busy insulting each other. The idea behind Klingon Insults is to have fun, and everybody can shoot some insults at each other. Some of the ones that we have tossed around earlier were things like Algo Conversational Klingon or Power Klingon is you belong in a black hole in the netherworld, and if I were to clean your honor with spit, I would only dirty the spit. And then there were some other ones where I heard that your ship fell into a black hole and was instantly ejected. When a black hole rejects you. And among other things. So do you have an insult to insult somebody here?
I have to think of it.
I've got to
step out in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, if you have one, just shout it out. Anybody?
Your batleth is so dull, it cannot even slice through air.
Well, I would have to say that your batleth is so nice and sharp and shiny, that's because it's never been used. And another cultural thing that Klingons take very seriously is the rite of ascension, where when you grow up and come of age, it's about, you're a teenager, you're about the age you would be that you would have a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah or your confirmation, depending on your personal cultural. It's very akin to that. But what the Klingons do is they stand in front of a bunch of people who are lined up on either side of them. Here is me, and here is a bunch of Klingons with paint sticks. I proceed down here and I say some words, today I am a warrior, this battle is my battle, I will show you my heart, and every time I step forward, somebody with paint sticks goes, and they're akin to cattle prods, and they are very painful. And so the idea is to get to the end and still be alive and somewhat standing. And at that point, you have proven yourself courageous enough and with a high enough pain tolerance that you are now considered a warrior. And it's a coming of age ceremony. So if I were to say to somebody, during your rite of ascension, you disabled the pain sticks.
Wait, wouldn't that be a good thing? Does that sound?
If you disable the pain sticks, they don't work. And
you didn't
that's
break them, they just turn off.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You disable the pain sticks. So if anybody in this room has seen Klingon Christmas Carol, that's a major plot point. Mm-hmm. Because Skooja is so cowardly, he refused to go through the rite of ascension properly. He disabled the pain sticks, and people found out about it and just invalidated the rite of ascension, so they would offer him the opportunity to do it again, but he doesn't until much later when he's being shown scenes from This Is Your Life, courtesy of several ghosts, and then at the end of the show he promises to train a child and help that child gain the stamina to succeed and to go through with them. Which is the alternative Tiny Tim. And so insulting somebody's rite of ascension ceremony is also some way you can imply that they are still a child, that they aren't a fully adult warrior, and that they're deceptive. And so with that, you learned all of your battle techniques from the Romulans and the Ferengi.
I wanted to challenge into an insult match, but I exited myself in embarrassment and cried like a little boy.
Oh.
You're so stinky that your rite of ascension featured 10-foot long paint sticks.
But at least they went off.
Yeah, they went off. Turned off.
You've got so much filth encrusted on your body that the paint sticks couldn't get through it. You have natural armor that way.
The stench coming off you was so bad, the ends of the paint sticks melted.
And so I am going to just have to say this about your cleanliness. The toxic waste that you fell into parted like the Red Sea.
You spent so many years trying to find your honor, you gave up and went to the Ferengi and tried to buy it.
Your honor is so far gone, even Zuko couldn't find it.
I wouldn't want to say you've been hanging out with humans too long, but why are you eating your gawk with a knife and fork?
Well, not only that, it's cooked gawk.
You're scared of gawk.
Which is why you have to kill it first and cook it and then eat it.
You redeem yourself so much going into battle that they just decided to hand you brown pants.
And it, and they sewed a black hole in your underwear.
When you go into battle, Ned Cool compliments your pants.
Your battle cruiser is the exterior paint job on your battle cruiser does not match the rest of the fleet. I noticed an RS where right in front of where the name would be. Romulan ship.
Oh. Your honor is stolen.
Well, it's the same place your honor is. I stole it back and took some seconds. But then again, I was also looking for your genitalia, and well, the microscope just wasn't good enough. I need to use the Large Hadron Collider to find it. They found the Higgs boson before they found it. They're still looking.
I tried to pawn your honor, but they wouldn't even give me a single credit for it.
Your equipment and your batlet are about the same. Both the opponents and the person you're looking to make love with say the same thing. Is it in yet?
You know, I read your latest book on your battles, and there were some serious plot holes that the entire galaxy is revolving around the universe through. And your autobiography is complete fiction.
Your mate pelts you with triples.
Oh, oh, nice for coach you got there. How many triples did it take?
Romulans won't fight you because they want at least some sort of a challenge.
Well, there was a 6-month-old Karen that is looking for a challenge. You're not it. Oh, we've got about 20 minutes here. We're doing really good for time. You are so useless in battle that instead of a battle sash, they gave you a red shirt.
Oh.
Red shirt.
captain is so cowardly that in the landing party, when the captain is present, everybody else is wearing red battle sashes of honor instead of the captain. Red battle sashes. The Petty stole this idea from us. The order of a red battle sash means you're going to die first on any mission that you're assigned to. And so, you were offered a red battle sash, but you refused. Because you don't want to die honorably in battle. You want to die whimpering in your bed on your 100th birthday.
With a triple.
And I do want to know how many tribbles you used to sew that fur blanket of yours.
What about one word insults? Say, patak.
Klingon invectives. Patak. There are some that are canon. You will find them in conversational Klingon. Mark Okrent starts the entire tape, or now I believe they're on DVD now, the DVD. The lessons for how to speak Klingon starts with him going through some of the sounds, and then leads right into the most important part of the language, insults. And the insults he's talking about are the swear words. He does not define what they mean, but they are useful things to say when you as a human being in the real world can't really officially swear. So if you're around small children, you can stub your toe and yell, "Kulvak!" Or you could call somebody a petak. You could also call them a todshach. You could also call them a tachek. And let's see, what are some of the other ones? Listed among the swear words in the Klingon dictionary is baka, which is very much like saying ba, and which translates exactly in the Klingon Christmas Carol. We were very happy to see that word when we were translating it. So some of those, like Hlecha and Pulvak, are just exclamations that you would say. You get a piece of bad news, Hlecha, or somebody surprises you, and you know how sometimes you would say something like, "Oh, fuck," and it's good news you got. You could say it that way as well. Kuvak, Hlecha, Va, any of those would work as your standard one word, just something to exclaim when an exclamatory is needed.
Is there a way to make it even worse?
For a one word? In general, you would just sit with that. You could also, when you use a word in a sentence, you could throw jai at the end of that sentence. And I mentioned this earlier on. Jai turns everything that goes before it into an obscene invective. It's kind of similar in English to punctuating your sentence with fuck.
Okay.
And in English, we often, you can use fuck for anything. It's the most versatile word ever. And if you've ever heard George Carlin's comedy bit on fuck, it's very much similar to that. And you can also use that word as a infix where you have abso-fucking-lutely. Klingon accomplishes the same kind of deal with jai, and you just stick it at the end of the sentence. It's a separate word. It is spelled J-A-Y apostrophe, which is a glottal stop, and it just makes everything. It is described in the Klingon dictionary as an intensifier, and it basically turns everything into a swear word. And there is also another way to emphasize things, and it is the suffix "ku." It is Q-U with an apostrophe, glottal stop, and you slap that. It is a roving suffix, so you can put it anywhere in a right after a word, but it becomes part of that word. You can put it after a suffix. So if I were to call you a honorable warrior, Shuvwit Kuld, Shuvwit's warrior, Kuld is honorable, you would say, I could say, Shuvwit Kuld Kuld, which emphasizes the honor. Very honorable warrior, or greatly honored warrior. But then, let's say I want to say your honorable warrior, Shuvwit Kuld Kok, and if I want to emphasize the finger quotes portion, Shuvwit Kuld Kok Kuld. And then, Shuvwit Kuld Kok Kuld Shok Jai. You are a so-called honorable warrior. Fuck. And so, the Klingon language, you can have a lot of fun with suffixes and creating things out of that. And those two emphasizers, used correctly, can alter the meaning of a sentence. Does anybody else have any questions about Klingon, the insults, or just want to insult me some more?
Wasn't there's an episode in the original series where the Klingons are on that one station where they deal with the Tribbles.
Yeah, trouble with Tribbles, yep. Or is it Tribbles and Trials and Tribulations for Deep Space Nine?
No, it's the first original series.
The original series,
They do have a Klingon throwing some insults at Scotty and some other ones.
I do not recall what they are doing
to them. We saw Trials and Tribulations recently, and they were switched from the original episode, Trouble with Tribbles. One of them was insulting the Enterprise, and Scotty was taking offense and said, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that the Enterprise
should be hauled garbage."
Scott, I meant to say it was should be hauled away as garbage.
That's also where isn't that where one of the earlier insults is calling Kirk the
overbearing
tin-plated
dictator with delusions of godhood.
Yes. Oh, and that also brings up because thanks for reminding me of that one. In the Klingon dictionary, they have a list of a bunch of things that you could say in Klingon, kind of like your standard traveler's guidebook, and they include a bunch of sentences. One of which is, "Your ship is a garbage scow." Doojlij och vektuj e. Vektuj is a garbage scow. Doojlij is your ship. And that sentence structure is, "Your ship is a garbage scow." So, if I were to say your ship is a garbage scow, and really emphasize that, Dujlij och ku vektuj e jai. The ku, your ship is, and I'm not kidding around here, a garbage scow. God damn it. And so you're bringing that emphasis up to 11, and so this is a good way to seriously piss off a ship's captain or a ship's engineer.
Does the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when Q says, "There's nothing I can do to assure you of my sincerity," and Worf says, "Die."
That is a good one, because it's one of those requests that's impossible to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And you probably also don't want to tell a Klingon to smile. Just on general principle.
Let me tell you where to go.
Well, that black hole over there would be a good start.
Mm-hmm. Grethor.
So is that like in the Virginian smile when you say that? Or is it a whole different thing?
I am not entirely sure what they mean I'm not familiar with Virginia and how smile all of the southernisms. Yeah. I do
the
know
novel Virginia.
Oh, I have not read that. Can you elaborate further on that?
Well, one of the characters, it says something insulting to Virginia and protagonist, and he says, well, Mr. Lee, say that, smile. Basically, you're saying you consider rephrasing that lightly.
Oh, got it.
I think they call him a bastard. I think in one scene, somebody calls him a bastard and he gets really mad and it ends up in a fight, and another time, one time it doesn't end up in a fight, and the other time it does, and somebody asks what the difference is, and it's when you say that smile.
Gary Cooper spoke it in the first sound adaptation and became known for the phrase.
Oh, got it. Because a lot of times in various human subgroups, if you're a member of that subgroup, let's say fandom, you can call somebody some things that you, if you weren't part of the group and really in on all the inside information, you could say, hey, you bad bastard, and they'll laugh, and then somebody who doesn't know you says the same thing, and, well, damn, that's just really not a nice thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like if you call me a geek, that's perfectly acceptable. If some of the people I work with called me a geek, it would be an insult, because
right.
it all... depends on context, because to them that's a bad, has bad negative connotations.
Mm-hmm. The difference between your friend comes down sidewalks easy and says, hey, asshole!
Did
you guys do that?
I haven't seen it in canon, but I can see if two Klingons knew each other very, very well, I don't see why they wouldn't have some Patak privileges of that kind. Hey, you dishonorable Patak! And then somebody else says, oh yeah, told Shah. And in fact, your standard barroom insult contest, a Mukadvesh, which is curse warfare in Klingon, is very much like that.
Yeah.
Is a bunch of Klingons are in a specific context, a bar, and somebody throws out an insult, and then insults start piling on each other, and a good time is had by all. And you can kind of get insults flying back and forth, and sometimes Klingons can make new friends that way. And sometimes there are some things that just go a little too far, and then out come the Leviks and the Vetlefs and the other... and spiked chairs. But I am blanking on what the one thing that Mark Okering used as the example of that. In general, though, Mukadvesh is a fun thing for Klingons to do. And it's the languages and the culture are pretty contextual in general, which is another contrast between Worf and most other Klingons you see in the series. And the Discovery Klingons, as I'm only heard about three quarters of the way through season one, and I found that that many of them take themselves very seriously, especially since the original group of Klingons that you meet in the series are religious separatists, led by T'Kuvma, who gets martyred. And then another Klingon steps in and fills the void of leadership, and things go on from there. Should be really interesting. I'm liking it so far. I just got to the episode where they return from the mirror universe. But I really, really love the way Next Gen has expanded on what the Klingon culture actually is, and
yes,
elevated them from being boring bad guys to some of the coolest aliens out there that you could possibly cosplay. You have about 8 minutes. Anybody? 7 minutes. My math is a little deficient this morning, so anybody got anything else to say, including insults? This is another opportunity to insult me or somebody else in the room.
there's a book I can't think of the title of. It's very, very iconic. One of the first books that featured Klingons in an interesting way.
Would that be The Final Reflection?
It is. And early on in the book, there is a Klingon captain on the ship, and he looks out, and he sees the enemy approaching him, but it's all in like a two-dimensional formation, something you can probably see on an ocean of a planet, or maybe even just in the atmosphere. And he sees, and he says, flat figures. The space has three dimensions and a lot more motility to it, so to speak.
And we have wormholes into the equation four dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get yourself to just three.
Yes.
Yeah. So you get your, and then of course they're probably following the universal up treaty.
That's it. That's probably where fourth mark.
Ah, go. Have fun. We got about 5 minutes or so. I'm working on more things to talk about, so if anybody has any last things to say, now's a great time to do that. Otherwise, I will say thank you for coming to the panel. And a lot to all of you, too, because some of the insults that you were throwing around were very good ones.
They were awesome.
And made me laugh. So excellent. And have a great rest of the time.
Hey.
And now I don't need this hand card anymore.